All right, we're recording.
Excellent. Okay.
So.
Well, we're back with the second episode of On the Table.
Yes, we're back at the same table, but we have visited different tables this week.
Yes, what tables have you seen this week?
Well, we went to the table outside of Picky Wops.
Oh, I love Picky Wops. For anyone listening who doesn't know, Picky Wops isn't us just throwing around racial slurs. It's actually a name of a vegan, 100% vegan Italian pizza restaurant in Fulham in West London. Mm-hmm. What did you think of it?
Oh, I love them. I mean, I love the food. I love the owners. Like, I just, there's so much passion that goes into their feed.
Now, some listeners probably don't know that you have other platforms on which you talk, not just this table. Didn't you interview the owner of Picky Wops for something? What was that?
Yeah, I did. So for my show called The Social Hour. So
is that The Social Hour with Tatum?
It is The Social Hour with Tatum. And it's a show that talks about people who are doing things that make the world brighter. And Cristiano is particularly interesting to me because they had been an Omni pizzeria, mm-hmm. and then they went 100% vegan.
Yes, so they didn't go from veggie to vegan. They went from serving meat and cured ham and all sorts, like old school Italian style meat pizzas, to being completely vegan. Now, I went along. Did you get to them before they were a vegan pizza restaurant? So I did. Like, for anyone who's familiar with the geography of London, Picky Wops is a short walk, maybe about 2 or 3 minutes away from Green Bay, which is a vegan grocery store, a little mini supermarket. So I went along to Picky Wops when they were still serving meat, but I had some of their vegan pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was, for Cristiano, the owner that you mentioned, there was a real awakening of compassion and wanting to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he also couldn't believe how many bloody vegans were coming into his shop. But you know, it makes sense. You know, like, make the food that the customers who are coming in with the cash want to see.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing news to hear that they switched their restaurant to be 100% vegan.
Yeah, and especially, like, as an independent business, I mean, that can sometimes be a leap to follow your moral and your... I was trying to think of, like, a compassion meter.
Compassion meter?
it's not working.
I was getting images when you were saying follow. I was getting images of, like, The Wizard of Oz with the Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, okay.
And that's, like, instead of the bricks on the road being yellow, they like, they say vegan on them.
And I was thinking of, like, a divining rod, you know, leading you in the right place.
What's the Michael Jackson music video where he's dancing and the squares light up on the sidewalk? Is it Billie Jean?
I think so.
Okay, so that. So you've got to step on the ones that light up and keep moving for compassion. Do it for the animals, kids. Do it for people. Do it for the planet.
Yeah, but when, you know, when that's your whole livelihood, you know, for them to take that leap, I just thought was particularly awesome.
Well, I think I was in contact with him around the time I did a blog post about, and that would be at fatgayvegan.com. No, but I was talking to him about why, and he just said he didn't have a choice. He had to.
Mm.
Like, when you are awakened to feeling compassion and knowing that your actions have a consequence, you do it. Yeah. If you've got the means to do it, you do it. And so he was running a pizza restaurant, and, you know, running a restaurant in London is tough, but he needed to make the change because he knew it was the right thing to do.
So did you hear that they entered a competition and it was all the Italian pizzeria or pizza chefs in London, so Omni places, and they entered it with their vegan pizza, which was the Queen Mary with the almond ricotta stuffed crust.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in second.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. They should have come first.
Well, yeah, of course.
I demand a recount.
But really lovely to spread that awareness to all these other places. Like,
well, you know, we're very selfish, aren't we, humans? And humans, places like London, where we have disposable income, some of us. So it often takes for people to be convinced about veganism. It's what it can do for the individual. And people want pizza to taste as good as non-vegan pizza to make that switch. And Picky Wops do it really well.
Yeah.
They're a very convincing piece in the argument where when you know, we try and tell people, look, you're not going to miss out. if you go vegan. Your ridiculous, selfish lifestyle isn't going to be compromised in any way. You're still going to have delicious artisan pizza, and they do it so well. Yeah. Really some of the best pizza I've ever eaten.
Yeah. And so since you brought the food to try last week, I've picked some items for this week.
Okay, but normally what we're going to do is we're going to do one each. Like, you're going to do a sweet and I'll do a savory, but because I did both last week.
Yeah.
We're all about equity here on the table. So we're evening things up. And then next week next episode, we'll start doing it more like evenly.
So on the table, I was inspired actually by our conversation last week. I had mentioned that sandwiches are my favorite food group, and you had mentioned toasty sandwiches.
Yes.
So I got Follow Your Heart's Pepper Jack slices and put it in a toasty.
Yes.
So it was one of those corrugated like grill things. It wasn't like a proper one, you know, when you have something on the top weighing it down. But we'll see how it turns out.
It looks delicious.
But I love pepper jack cheese. I love spice.
Now I'm I like to take my opportunities in life. So just while you're talking, I'm trying to Instagram a photo of this sandwich. So if anyone wants to be so bothered, they could probably scroll back through my Instagram feed and see this sandwich on the table. On the table.
So we've got two halves of a sandwich. So we've got the toasty.
Yes.
And we've got a toast and lettuce and tomato and veganese sandwich with this. I've only just started seeing this company recently. Have you seen them before? Cozy? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Cozy Bio, I would say. But do you know, like, this meat that you've got today, what sort is it? I can't remember.
So this one is a soy one. Okay. Again, with the peppers. So
with peppers in it. So it's like deli meat.
Yeah.
Now, this is organic, this brand. But am I right in thinking that not all of their products are vegan?
Yeah. The nice thing is that they do highlight it on the front, so you can tell which ones are vegan and which ones are vegetarian.
I sometimes struggle to understand why a company would bring out 18 vegan products and then have one or two that aren't vegan. I don't think they're going to stop people from buying their products if they were all vegan.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Cozy Bio, what's up with that?
Yeah, make them all vegan. I mean, I think the other thing had egg whites in it. It's not like that's bringing a ton of flavor. It's not like that can't be substituted for something else.
No.
You know, it's not even like the main ingredient. And that's the thing that sometimes that upsets me when I go shopping, is when you look through in the first like 5-6 ingredients are all vegan, and then right the way at the bottom there's this tiny little whey protein, and you're like, what the fuck?
I think
no need for it.
I think sometimes using animals in food is all about profit and getting as much profit out of that animal's body as you can. And if there's a little bit of something left over, they'll find a way to use it. Because if it does the job of something plant-based, but you know, it's sitting there in a vat and somebody needs to use it, they'll use it. And industries like the milk industry have a lot of surplus product left over. So it needs to go somewhere. So farmers and factories and industrialized food processors can make as much profit or ilk as much money out of an animal as they can. That's kind of gross, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And but I have been heartened that some of the dairy farms are closing down. And they're getting agitated by the rise of all the different varieties of vegan milks now available.
And it sounds a little bit heartless sometimes when vegans say yes to a farm closing down or yes to a dairy farmer going out of business. But there are other industries that they can get into if they want to. It's like the argument against solar or wind energy. It'll put coal factories out of business. Well, hey, you know what? Let's give jobs and fairly paid jobs to people to work on environmentally friendly energy.
Right. And I'm sure a lot of those farmers would much prefer having crops, less noise.
Well, I think that it can't be a nice feeling for anybody to think to some level about the welfare of animals and then know that those animals are going to be killed. or injured or harmed.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know if anybody could actually say they enjoy that part of the process. So I think if we can...
So are you thinking it's kinder to the farmers if they farm crops as well?
Well, I'm really thinking of the animals. But yeah, I think it's better for everybody if we don't kill things. We don't kill sentient beings.
Yeah.
Okay, am I allowed to pick at this meat part first?
Yes, like, absolutely.
So it is... It says 100% vegetale. Mm-hmm. So this is Italian, right? Product of Italy. And so it's like a pepperoni slice with peppers in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to pick a little bit off before I eat the sandwich and try it. Mm.
I like that it has a little bit of flair with the peppers.
A little bit of sass. Yes. I like my meat to sass it. Yeah, it's tangy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite the consistency of a deli meat that I like, a vegan deli meat. So I really like tofurkey slices. Yeah. And I like that really chewy deli meat style. This is a bit softer.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks apart easier.
Yeah.
But it's still tasty. It gets the job done. Maybe I'll taste it in its full environment.
All right, I'm going to take a bite of mine as well. Should we do that at the same time? Should one of us be talking?
One of us should be talking, right? Okay. But I'm so greedy. Let me go first. Oh, you're gone. Tatum sticking the sandwich in her mouth.
I tried to be polite, but then it touched my tongue and I couldn't resist.
Listen, we were both saying before we sat down that we hadn't eaten much today and we were hungry. We've been very busy. And it's been kind of tough having these sandwiches sat in front of me for this amount of... How long have we been recording? my stomach's actually rumbling.
12 minutes.
For the sandwich in front of me that I haven't touched.
Wow.
That's a world record for fat gay vegan kids. I'm just going to talk with my mouth full because I can't wait for Tatum to eat.
I love switching up what's in a sandwich, but I really, really like veganaise, lettuce and tomato pretty much with anything.
Can I stop you there for a second?
Mm-hmm.
It's veganaise.
No.
Yes.
No.
You have to say...
I've been saying it wrong for like 6 years.
How embarrassing.
I've even been to the Follow Your Heart in California.
To the shop?
Yeah.
Well,
the cafe.
I've been to the factory.
I don't know. You're so cool.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what happens when only about 20,000 people know who you are. You get to go to factories.
Veganaise. I don't know. I don't know if I can say it that way.
What were you saying? Veganaise.
Veganaise.
Oh, that's so wrong. It's so busted up.
You know, I wanna hang on to it.
You can if you want, but just don't say it around like cool vegans that I know. I don't know many, but don't say it around cool vegans.
I can't believe no one's pulled me up. You know, I even wrote a one-woman show called Confessions of a Veganaise Lover.
And did you perform it?
I did.
And you say so you did a... That's how next level not giving a fuck you are. You did a one-woman show where you said the name of the product, which was in the title of the show, incorrectly for the whole run.
Yeah.
Where did you put this on?
Oh, it was in LA.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. What was the whole sort of the backbone of the show?
So it was sort of personal narrative storytelling that, veganaise just shows up in a lot of my stories since I spend a lot of time looking in the fridge for inspiration.
But I love how you've been hanging out with vegans forever and nobody's been kind enough to tell you you've been saying it incorrectly.
And I just thought if someone said veganaise, I thought they were just being English and they didn't know.
How do you say this one? D-A-I-Y-A.
Daya.
Daya.
No.
Yep. They've even got a pronunciation guide on their website. Daya.
Bloody hell.
So Daya, veganaise. Am I turning your world upside down?
You really are. Who knew? But it just shows, even a decade as a vegan, there's so much more to learn.
You're just taking baby steps. We all get there in our own time.
Well, you know, I actually like Daya better, I have to say, than Daya. I think it reminds me too much of diet.
Or diarrhea.
Ooh, yeah, no, don't. But Daya sounds happier, funnier.
I think when it really clicked for me, because I think I always knew how to say it, just because I heard it said.
You were just born that way.
Yeah, I was born that way. they did a promotion that I saw where they were handing out free samples of Daya. But it was in the US when I was somewhere else. I don't know where I was. Mexico, Australia, who knows? Antarctica. But they were handing out samples, and the people working for Daya were wearing T-shirts that said, "Have a nice day, yeah." And so they had the it separated. And then I think in brackets or parentheses underneath it said, "This is how you say it."
So I bought some olive bread, which is, I like it, it's flavorful. I actually picked it up accidentally. There was an olive stone in my bread.
That's rustic. That's rustic charm. That's,
and that's, could have killed me.
You're part of the slow food movement.
Oh, God, talking. And then I was like, you know, you feel that, like, and I was like, what on earth have I put in this sandwich?
Is that paleo when you get the stone from an olive in your bread? Yeah. I think that's paleo.
Yeah.
Are you a cave person secretly?
No.
Oh, can I just dive out for a second? I had an email from a cider company that they're making vegan cider and they wanted to send me some. And I was like, no, please don't, because I'm traveling and I can't get it, but I'll look out for it in the shop. But I looked at their website and it said that the cider was also suitable for paleo diets. And I don't know. I mean, straight up paleo's a fad, right? I mean,
I haven't really gotten my head around the whole paleo thing.
If anyone wants to tweet me and explain to me how paleo is not a crock of shit, I'm happy to listen, but be prepared to be ridiculed.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they had cider back then.
Back when, though? Like,
right.
What, I mean, this what is period early about
caveman, Neolithic.
Is that what it is?
I'm just throwing shit out there.
What period of the Earth's existence are we talking about with paleo? And is it a forgiving set of rules? Like, you know, with vegan, you're vegan, right?
Right.
But with paleo, can you swing in and out of it?
I think it's...
Can you go in and out of prehistoric food periods?
I think you can move between them up until we settled and grew crops. That's my understanding. But I could be really
wrong. Then what
are
these people making food out of? Like, cider comes from domesticated fruit. So that can't be paleo, really, then, can it?
Well, I think that they can use fruits and veg as long as it's not crops like wheat and corn.
Like grains.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
pre-grains.
Like, apples that we have this in this day and age, 2017... For anyone not familiar with the year we're in, they didn't exist like even 1,000 years ago, right?
Had loads more apples though.
But they were different sizes and they types. Tasted different.
Weird diversity so of they've been, apples.
They've been modified to be like the apples we know and love today.
This is true.
Oh, and to go into another train of thought, because I'm just all over the shop today. So what's up with fruit being waxed with animal-derived wax in supermarkets?
No.
You know about this, right?
No.
Okay, so I've known about it for a while, but it's one of these things as a vegan, you do what you can. So if you need to eat fruit and vegetables, you try your best to buy fruit and vegetables that do as little harm as possible. But we all need to eat fruit and vegetables. We don't want to get scurvy and be sent on a boat back to Australia where I spent half my life trying to get away from. So animal or beetle-derived wax is used to coat a lot of supermarket-bought, supermarket-available fruit, such as apples. Anything with a glossy coating. It's often shellac.
Mm.
No, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly now. Shellac.
That's
shellac.
That's also a type of nail varnish.
Yes. So if you get your nails done, that's often not vegan. Start investigating, kids. But Tesco, which is a large supermarket chain here in the UK, have started a trial where they're labelling some of their fresh fruit and vegetable as vegan if they can trace where the wax has come from.
Interesting.
So if it's a vegetable-based wax and they know that and they can trace it from farm to the shelf, that there's been no animal wax used in the process, they've started saying this fruit and vegetable is suitable for vegans. So I find that really fascinating that I think that's vegan consumerism has really pushed for that.
And that's something I've never heard about. And I suppose, do you look for the things that are unwaxy, that look a little rough around the edges? Are they safer?
I think you
can you see it?
I think you can see unwaxed fruit, but they don't label it often. Like, right. They won't say, a lot of places won't say, you just buy a bag of apples, right. A bag of oranges or whatever you've got. But this Tesco doing this, I mean, Tesco's horrible for lots of other reasons that we won't go into because we don't want to be sued. But we don't have any money. But it's interesting that they've taken that on. And that must be driven by wanting to make profit. Mm. There must be enough people saying, we want our fruit and vegetable to be labelled vegan.
Yeah.
For them to do that. I mean, there's all other sorts of farming. You've heard of veganic farming, which is no animal products at all, like manure or anything are used. And also it's organic as well as being vegan. But that's there are veganic farms in the UK, but I don't think any of that makes it to our supermarket shelves,
right,
our mainstream shops. You really have to get involved with like a veg box scheme or an organic farm shop that you trust for that sort of thing.
It's more to think about.
Okay, was this the theme of On the Table this week? Well, hidden vegan, hidden vegan ingredients? Because I could talk about vegan toilet paper if you like. Following on from my inappropriate diarrhea comment before, we could talk about how toilet paper isn't vegan.
Let's try before we get onto that. Let's try the other side of the sandwich. What did you think of the Cozy Bio in the sandwich?
I thought it was. It perfectly complemented what the sandwich was trying to do and say to me.
Okay.
But on its own, like say, going back to tofurkey again, mm-hmm, I could open a packet of tofurkey slices mm-hmm and eat them straight out of the packet. Right. I love the taste and the texture of them. This, it would need to be in that sandwich. Like the sandwich you made was delicious. If it was a price point thing, like if this was cheaper, I'd buy this as a sandwich filling.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I could imagine like chopping this up and putting it in a vegan quiche.
Or
if you do scramble, mm-hmm, you know, this as an ingredient is good, but as a standalone item to eat on its own.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes you might do yourself, you know how we are in West London, we might sit down with a glass of Prosecco and a little vegan cheese and meat board. I don't know where that came from, but I don't know. Am I the only one who just sometimes eats vegan meat out of the packet?
I do. How I often do it. Sometimes it happens when the fridge door is open because, you know, everything you consume with the fridge door open, there's no calories, right? Because it just happened in the fridge.
Okay, what's a calorie?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sometimes what happens is the vegan meat comes out, like the tofurkey, and then it just gets dipped in the veganaise while still in the fridge.
And what's veganaise again?
Oh, bloody hell.
Already?
Bloody hell, no.
I can see there's a lot of work ahead of us here.
We do. Thank you for being my vegan guru.
You know, I like that idea of dipping it into the veganaise.
Tasty. And then doing roll-ups. So you put like a little slice of avocado in it and then some veganaise and just roll it up.
Okay, so I should have a disclaimer here that, you know, I run the vegan beer fests around the country and I'm about to, at the time of filming, I'm about to head up to Glasgow for the Glasgow Vegan Beer Fest. Those events are sponsored by the makers of veganaise. So I don't want to get it out on the table that mm-hmm we haven't been paid for this endorsement. No. This is something you did off your own back without thinking about the ethical ramifications of us as media people. As low budget journalists.
And clearly my love of, oh my God, am I going to say it? Veganaise.
Veganaise.
Goes back a long way before I even knew you.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you remember life before knowing me?
No, I'm leaving now. It's so hazy. All right, so this was my attempt at a toasty. It's gone a little cold now.
And what's in it?
So this is staying with Follow Your Heart. It's the pepper jack cheese. So we're keeping with the little bit of spicy peppers
mm-hmm
theme that we started with the Cozy Bio.
So this cheese, the pepper jack cheese style slices by Follow Your Heart, I can't eat this on its own. It's a little bit too spicy for me.
Oh, really?
But in something like a toastie,
mm-hmm,
do you think everyone knows what we mean by toastie? Is that like a regional thing?
I think everyone.
Like a toasted sandwich, toasted cheese sandwich, toastie.
It's when the outside of the sandwich has been grilled.
Yeah. And the cheese melts in the middle. And you don't really have much else in it except cheese.
And I used your tip of the veganaise. It sounds so weird.
It's like trying to teach a dog to walk on its hind legs, people. This is what I'm dealing with here.
I can't do it naturally.
It's like every part of Tatum's body contorts while just before she says veganaise.
So, I used the vegan mayonnaise.
Oh, there we go.
On the outside when I grilled it. And I put some margarine on it as well. Okay. So I mixed the two together.
Another top tip from FGV about grilled sandwiches is when you put the veggies on the outside, dust it with nutritional yeast before you fry it.
Ooh,
and so the nutritional yeast sticks to the mayo and it goes all crunchy like a cheesy coating on the outside.
Okay, next time. Next time. But for a toastie that's gone a little cold, I think it's standing up.
It's delicious. Can I say something about this cheese that may or may not surprise you? Did you know that this cheese by Follow Your Heart, the slices, is made by the same people that make Violaf?
Really?
There's a Greek dairy company that for many decades has been making plant-based cheeses for part of the Orthodox fasting in Greece. And a little while ago, maybe 15 years ago, they decided that there were a lot of vegans buying their cheese, so they started marketing some of their cheese that they made for the fasting as a vegan cheese or a plant-based cheese. And so they became Violaf was their own brand, and it became very successful, as you know. I mean, it's everywhere now in the UK. And a lot of other vegan companies could see that this cheese was perfect for grilling, for cooking, for everything, and they didn't have to do anything else other than buy it from this company and rebrand it. So you'll find a lot of brands around the world actually have it made by the Violaf company, or they team up with them and make something in partnership with them. So for instance, there's a brand called Field Roast in the US and in North America, and they have cheese slices. I think you pronounce it chao, C-H-A-O, chao. And they look very similar to this, but that's made in conjunction with the company. There's a company in Australia, I think it might be called BioLife. There's VioLife in the UK. VioLife has just launched in the US as well.
Have you had VioLife's creamy ones?
Yes.
How, I was tempted to pick one of those up today because I haven't had them yet. How are those?
Well,
sorry, I'm asking you right when you take
mid-bite. I really love the Daya cream cheese spreads. Have you tried that?
No.
And they do sweet ones, like strawberry flavor. Ooh. And they're delicious. Like the strawberry Daya spread on a bagel is heaven.
Interesting.
But also another company, another cheese company that's making their cheese for a lot of different markets and rebranding it is Bute Island Foods in Scotland.
Yeah.
Who are the makers of cheese. It's hard to say that, right? With the SH at the beginning. Cheese.
I thought it was S-H-R. Clearly, I've just said Shrees, I thought it was.
No. Shrek.
Clearly, I just butcher all sorry.
S-H-E-E-S-E. So they make the Tesco, some of the Tesco own brand cream spreads. And they make some of the Sainsbury's cheeses.
Sainsbury's ones. Yeah. There's a cranberry one.
Yes. That's good. Yeah, the Wensleydale. Yeah.
I just recently got their feta, and I had tried it before, and I was a bit like, eh. And I can't remember why I bought it, but I just had it in like a really big salad recently, and it was heavenly. So I feel like I probably tasted it, you know, at one of those counters where you just taste one thing at a time, at like a veg fest or something, and it had mentally gone into my, eh. But when I used it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Well, Josh, absolutely. For anyone who doesn't know, Josh is my partner. Josh absolutely loves the Wensleydale with the cranberries. Like, he can't get enough. If we buy it from Sainsbury's, their packaged version, made by Shees, Bute Island, he'll just eat the whole thing straight out of the packet. He loves it. And I don't get a look in. But somebody...
So that's his ice cream then? That's his one pack is one serving for him.
Yes.
And the ice cream is one... Gallon? Half gallon?
A pint? I don't know. Pint. What is it? We don't know. 500 milliliters, that's all I know.
One container of ice cream.
Half a litre. So I saw a photo of a cheese spread made by Bute Island repackaged for Germany, and it was called Vegan Island. And so tubs of vegan cream cheese spread, and it's made by them but repackaged for a different market.
What do you think of Vegusto cheeses?
The gusto.
Am I saying that right?
Well, I don't know. I've never heard anyone say it. Like, well, I mean, obviously I've heard people say it, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone from the company.
The gusto.
The gusto. Oh. I like to say the gusto.
The gusto. That yeah. does sound...
The gusto. It's a bit of a weird name, isn't it? The gusto. It's
Swiss, isn't it? That company?
Yes. I love their cheeses. Like, they were the first sort of breakthrough cheese that wasn't V-Bites, Redwood.
Oh, yeah.
Cheesley, right? Mm. So they were the first breakthrough cheese after Cheesley dominated the landscape. And I love the gusto. Like, their piquant yes. flavor.
That's my favorite. That's
my chop it, eat it. Put it on crackers, just eat it straight up.
That's a cheese board, a vegan cheese board cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I also like, they have one with walnuts in it that's really nice. Mm-hmm. I remember having like a Christmas party and someone came up to me and they were like, they were Omni and they were like, oh my God, this cheese, when you put it with this cracker and eat it in this way is just perfect. And then they ran off and I never found out or remembered, because it was a Christmas party and there was too much Prosecco, what the combination was. But I know somewhere out there there's
a dream.
A perfect dream combination that made an Omni lose their mind.
But the gusto is one of those cheeses where anyone will eat it and say it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're sworn that they'll never be vegan in their life, they right. can still eat that cheese and really appreciate it.
Some of their cheeses have quite what I think of as a European taste to them. I just hadn't had that taste in a long time. So when I tasted it for the first time, it was a little much for me, some of the flavors.
What's European tasting cheese?
I don't know. There's like a smell that's just what
smells.
I...
Smells like the Thames.
Yeah, because American cheeses just don't have that in general.
Okay. That, so you don't really get all the gourmet cheeses in the US?
If so, they still smell and taste American.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you making American cheese great again? No. Is that what's happening? I don't know what's going on in this conversation.
No, just in general, like, the flavors aren't as pungent, okay. shall we say.
And people love a good pungent cheese.
Mm. And I'm not saying the whole of America. I'm sure there are cheese shops in America that are totally pungent, but I'm thinking much more of like just supermarket cheese, like okay. regular, not
so you normally
like...
get like cheddar and cheddar slices and run of the mill.
Velveeta back in the day.
What's Velveeta?
it's that super processed cheese. It's disgusting really, but it tastes amazing. You get it in a big chunk and you melt it down for mac and cheese.
I don't know about that. Have you ever watched a funny cheese story memory that I hold no. dear to my heart? Have you ever seen the Australian show Kath and Kim?
Mm-mm.
So it's a comedy show. It's making fun of the fact that the characters are meant to be a little bit common
mm-hmm.
and what you know, working class. And for the wedding, the mother out of the two characters, Kath, is getting married again, and she asks for her where she's going to get married to be decorated with baby Jesus, but her daughter thinks she says baby cheeses and turns up with this whole garland of like baby bell cheeses, like the tiny little rounds. And she said, I didn't, I said baby Jesus, not baby cheeses, you stupid girl.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
But then the vegan part of me was like, I bet they threw all of that out and those cows were milked for nothing. So what did you think of the melted cheese? It melts really well, right?
I thought, it was really nice in there.
All of these cheeses made by Violife, it's the one thing that they do that a lot of cheeses that came before it didn't do. It melts very well and it doesn't have to be at a super high temperature, because this cheese is 23% coconut oil and so it helps it to melt quite easily. Mm. So in a toasted sandwich. But it also has potato starch in it, which I find interesting. Now, these are completely soya-free. What's the issue that some vegans say that they don't want to eat soya for health reasons? What's that about?
So, some soy has been genetically modified.
Mm-hmm.
And some people feel that especially with genetically modified soy, that if you eat too much of it, you can increase your hormone levels. Some people think that that can increase your risk of certain types of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's quite a lot of people that avoid soy. My personal feeling on it is that, same way as with corn, when they genetically modified corn, made it really abundant, like you were saying earlier, they stuck it in everything, mm-hmm. with the high fructose corn syrup, and mm-hmm. any filler was stuck with corn. And I think that any time something has infiltrated your diet to that degree, it's probably not great for you. So I think a similar thing has happened with soy. My understanding, in the UK, all soy here isn't genetically modified.
Oh, okay. But wouldn't all modern crops be genetically modified somewhere along the line? I don't really understand. This is where we reach the part of the podcast where Tatum and I put our arms up in the air and say, actually, we don't know anything about nothing. And it's just like, we like to throw the questions out there for you to consider.
Right.
So the only thing I've really got to say about soy or soya, which we can get to that in a bit, why it's called soy in the US and Australia, but soya with an A
in the UK. That feels weird.
That's wrong. I struggle to say soya.
Yeah, me too.
The thing I've got to say about it is, well, it makes sense that too much of anything isn't going to be good for you.
Yeah.
Right? If I drink too much whiskey, if I eat too many cheese toasties, if I eat too much processed corn product, if I eat too much processed soy, it's not going to be good for my body. Mm-hmm. I don't think my basic understanding of science would have me believe that our human bodies aren't meant to consume too much of one thing.
Right.
Things that should be done in moderation.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, like, with a lot of these products, like, I'll switch between a soy product, a soy-free product, a wheat-free product. Like, I like some wheat products, but I notice that if I eat them all the time, I don't feel great. So it's, a little bit of moderation and diversity.
And also, I mean, I don't give a shit what I eat, really. I'm pretty much eat what I want when I want, to a degree. But also, another argument that gets thrown around about soy and soy farming is that it is responsible for deforestation, which is true. And people like to use that as an excuse why they won't go vegan. Whereas really, the vast majority of soy crop that is grown is fed to livestock, fed to animals that are then turned into meat.
Right. So if we weren't feeding the animals, a lot of that...
And also, there wouldn't be as much soy farming if all of these billions of animals didn't need to be fed every year.
Mm-hmm.
So take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it, you anti-vegan brigade.
All right. So on to dessert. If you've listened to the last episode, we were talking about an Australian product called Junket.
Yes.
You should really explain that. So,
well, Junket is like a powder that you mix up and it sets into a wobbly custard.
And then I was talking about Angel Delight. And then I thought I'd go out and find something that was ethical. And wouldn't you know, I found a powdery chia-y substance that you pour water in and it sets. I haven't had it before, so this will be the first time.
Now, what's the brand called?
Okay, so it's called Mind Fuel.
Okay.
It's not Mindful, an extra E.
Okay, Mind Fuel.
Yeah, but it does make you think of mindfulness.
That's kind of rubbing me up the wrong way.
It's a chia pudding mix. I have made chia puddings myself quite easily, so I was wondering what this did in addition. One of them is a dark chocolate,
mm-hmm.
paired with crushed hazelnuts, maca root, and a hint of cayenne pepper, keeping with the peppery theme of this week. The other one is a banana cream pie, paired with coconut, a hint of ginger, and lemon.
Okay.
So these sound much nicer.
Are we going to
Junket and
Are you
going to
choose which one you want and I'll have the other one?
Yeah, or I could...
Because the listeners, whatever you're doing, however you're accessing this, they don't know is that these are about the what?
Oh, so I read the instructions wrong.
Oh, okay.
So actually what you do is you pour the pouch into a bowl. And then you fill the empty pouch with water up until a certain line.
Oh, okay.
And then you pour it all in the bowl. Okay. So you don't eat it in the packet.
Oh, that's what we originally thought. Yeah. That's where I was going with my my last statement there.
I sensed so that. So
it's about the size. The packet is about the size of like an instant soup mix.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pour the contents, the dry contents, into a glass. I'd imagine a glass or a bowl that you're going to be eating it out of, so you right. don't have to decant it.
I'm going to get some bowls and some water. Okay. We'll make it.
So you empty the sachet into a bowl. Then you fill the empty sachet with water or milk. Do you have any plant-based milks in the house?
Do you want milk or water?
I like the idea of maybe milk better.
Okay.
Because it might be a bit creamier. And then you fill the empty sachet with water or milk until the line on the packet. And then you add the water to the bowl, you stir, wait 5 minutes, and then enjoy it.
Okay.
I think that's a bit presumptuous of them to say, and then enjoy. I'll be the judge of that, thank you, Mind Fuel.
They do have a giving back element.
Okay, that's what this company does, yep. Mind Fuel.
They have a section on their website where they say how we are helping others. We are dedicated to doing what we can to aid communities and individuals who aren't as fortunate as we are, and we want our customers to be a part of the social impact. Thus, hashtag Eat One, Feed One was born. For every snack we sell together with you, we donate a meal to someone in need. So I thought that was a nice ethical component.
Does it have any... I'd be interested in finding out where that food goes, because the company is based in Germany, like in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
It says on the packet, it's made with love in Berlin. I wonder if they are feeding people in need in Berlin or somewhere else around the world.
I was surprised as I was looking around, there weren't as many fair trade items as I thought there would be.
No, it's tough to find.
Yeah.
A product that is completely from farming right through to packaging to the shelf life, it's very difficult to find a product that is fair trade with all of its components being fair trade. Okay, yeah. So we're going to open these yeah. and pour them into the bowl. Which one mm-hmm. are you doing?
So I've got the banana cream pie.
Well, I wonder how you got that and I ended up with chocolate. What a coincidence. I'm just sniffing mine first. Yeah, it just smells like cocoa powder. Okay.
All right, so we're doing milk or water? I brought in both.
Well, do you want to, should we do one? One with milk and one with water.
That seems good, but now I kind of want to do them both with milk.
Okay, let's do those. I'm not going to argue about
okay,
that.
Okay, we're using soy milk, by the way. It's kind of looking a little like cereal at the moment. So I think we stir it and then it just sets.
Okay. This is like a science experiment at school.
It is. Oh, you know what I was thinking? If it had been there, I would have bought it, was that squirty cream that was at your barbecue.
That would be lovely. That was from a kosher supermarket. Sainsbury's did have a vegan squirty cream in a can for a while, but I think they only get it in around Christmas.
The one that we had was called Smack It or something.
Yeah, Smack It. Smack that cream. Okay.
I think it was.
Yours just looks like, you know when you're having oats or porridge mm-hmm. and the milk gets all soaked up?
Yeah.
And you have to keep adding more milk because it's also too gross to eat? That's what yours looks like.
Yours is looking... It looks like a chocolate drink.
Yeah, it looks like a hot chocolate.
Yeah.
But now we're meant to let it set for...
5 minutes.
5 minutes. I'm just going to leave it with the spoon in it though because I don't want to dirty the table. The table is sacred on the table. I'm gonna like now be honest and say something I didn't say before, but
okay.
I think Chia and I have a bad relationship.
Really?
I just don't get the concept of it. So this dark chocolate one, the ingredients mm-hmm. are chia seeds, crushed hazelnuts, dried nectar of coconut palm tree blossom, cacao powder, teff flakes. What's teff? T-E-F-F.
I don't know.
Almond protein, maca root powder. Is it maca or matcha? How do you say it?
I thought that was maca.
M-A-C-A?
Mm-hmm.
We need help with pronunciation, people.
Clearly.
And that cayenne pepper. Now we're going to sit here in silence for five minutes.
It's like the only time we've ever run out of things to say.
You can go and make yourself a cup of tea. Go and check if your toilet paper is vegan.
Is there a sign? How do you know?
You don't know. You have to write to the company that makes the toilet paper, and you have to ask them. And that...
When is there enough time in the day?
Well, that's why other people do it. And if you just search your favorite brand and the word vegan, somebody else has probably posted it somewhere online.
Okay.
So you can find, like, there are probably vegan toilet paper forums on the internet. But my understanding, and please, science geeks, tell me how wrong I am with this, but when large quantities of paper is manufactured, there's a lot of moisture that needs to be extracted from the paper. And to do that, they use gelatin in the mix because it helps stabilize and remove the water easier.
So is it all paper then?
Well, a lot of paper is made that way, yes. So even some office paper that you buy for your printer might have used animal products in the process. A lot of money. You know how there was all this the drama about the £5 note having these plastic pellets that had gelatin? Well, paper money can also use animal products. So, you know, all these vegans who got in an uproar about it. It's like, you know what? It's good that you want to be vocal about the use of animal products, but you know what? The money you're already using, I think, use animal products as well. There are some mainstream brands in the UK, quite a lot, that are vegan. But then we've got a whole lot of other ethical concerns to think about. Like, is your toilet paper responsible for deforestation? As the company that makes the toilet paper, is it paying their workers a fair wage? The packaging around your toilet paper, where does that plastic come from?
I have found one toilet paper that was covered in like a cornstarch plastic. Mm-hmm. You've seen that?
Yes.
Which made me feel so much better. And I figured if they're bothering to do that, maybe the other stuff was pretty good too.
Yeah, don't look into it anymore. You're safe. You're completely safe.
But yeah, you just need to buy what's there and like...
You need toilet paper. Yeah. You can't get around it unless you own a bidet, which not many people in the UK do.
They don't in Australia either, do they?
No, not really. It's not a thing. That's not a US thing.
No.
I know it's not a US thing because when I was a kid, I watched one of the National Lampoon Vacation, like European Vacation videos, and Chevy Chase used a bidet for the first time, and it was hilarious, of course. Can you imagine how funny it was? So I can't resist. I'm touching it. I'm going to like try probably one spoon of this, and you're going to have to eat the rest. Because it's given me the heebie-jeebies.
The chia element?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not anti it. Like, I've had drinks with chia in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like smoothies. I don't mind that. But chia as the main component of something doesn't bode well for me. Don't like the look of it. It's given me evil side eyes. Chia's saying things about me behind my back. I can't imagine... Like, what is this, a meal replacement? Is that what it's meant to be? Or is it just a little snack?
I think it's just a little snack.
Because I'm not of the mindset or the mind fuelness that I would sit down and have this as a snack of choice.
Right.
Why would I eat this?
I can see it. I'm really bad for eating really late at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a really sweet tooth really late at night. And that's when I often make really bad food decisions. Mm. That I feel like if I had something that was sweet, but like somewhat healthy or like had some redeeming qualities. I mean, I've been known to eat just jam straight out of the jam jar. So for me, I could see if I had like this on hand. Okay. Especially the chocolate one. I'm feeling, just by looking, I'm feeling like the chocolate one might be more my speed.
Okay.
That would be a better choice for me.
Okay.
Let's have a look at calories. Per portion.
But who knows anything about calories? Like, do you know how many calories you're meant to eat in a day?
I know if I'm losing weight, I shouldn't have more than 1,400.
I wouldn't even know how to know. Like... Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so so far removed from understanding like calorie intake. How do you know if you eat like a carrot, how much that is? Do you have to go and look that up?
Yeah, I mean, most vegetables are okay. I mean, it might be 50 calories, but
do you actually watch how many calories you take?
When I am losing weight, yes.
Okay.
And then I write it all down, and you only have to look it up once.
So is this like a you don't want to lose weight thing, or you do want to lose weight?
That's when I want to lose weight.
Oh, okay.
So when I'm setting out to lose weight, right. I aim for 1,200. Know my math is going to be a bit bad, so it's probably about 1,400.
Okay, I can't even imagine being in that mindset.
So this is 204 calories a serving.
Is that a lot?
And it's not bad for a snack. For about that much, you could get one of those ice creams from Sainsbury's. Have you tried that with the chocolate around it? It's the Swedish glass ice cream.
I love them. I would eat both then. I'm not going to limit myself because of calories. All this talk of losing weight and calories has made me, has amplified my greed.
This tastes really healthy.
Yeah.
How is that?
I wouldn't eat that. Like, I just tried the chocolate one. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that some people want to eat healthy food, or they want to be concerned about their calories, or they need to be for health reasons, mm-hmm. but looking after themselves and personal wellness. But I'm not in that state of mind, and I couldn't eat that. To me, that would be a chore to eat that. Like, it would be a task. If someone, the doctor said to me, you have to eat these every day or you'll die, I'd still consider whether I would eat it.
Oh, that's so harsh. Okay, so...
That chocolate one's like really bitter.
I like it. Wow. I would eat that. The banana one is like breakfast cereal.
Okay, well, guess what? You've got two bowls to get through.
But the chocolate one, I like that. I could definitely eat that while watching Netflix late at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good for you. Knock yourself out, friend. I'll be down at Temple of Hackney eating two pieces of fried chicken and chips and a pot of gravy.
So what have you got coming up now? You've got Glasgow Vegan Beer Fest?
Yes, Glasgow Vegan Beer Fest. I don't know what else is going on. I mean, the market, the monthly vegan market at Hackney, you have to start planning for September.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, by the time we work out how to put this podcast online, it'll be... people think we're talking about September 2018. I live in Mexico half the year, so I have to start planning that soon. I mean, it comes around so quickly. I'll be leaving in January. I have to stay a few weeks longer in the UK than I normally would because my book is coming out, and you can pre-order on Amazon. Just search Fat Gay Vegan. It'll pop up. All sorts of things. I'm going on a New Year's Eve cruise. That needs a little bit of planning. I was thinking of starting another market because the Hackney Downs vegan market is so oversubscribed with attendees. It's actually dangerous. So I'm thinking of starting a different market on another day, maybe even in a similar part of town or a different part of town. I think there need to be markets all over the UK, especially all over London. There is too many vegans and not enough vegan markets. So I'm thinking of looking into that. Oh, one thing I'd like to give a shout out to is there was a vegan cheese company at Hackney Downs Vegan Market called the Cashew Family, and their cheeses were delicious. I mean, they very kindly gave me some. I didn't pay for them, so once again, that wasn't payment for getting a mention, but the cheeses are lovely. They've only just recently started. They've been doing... There's a Tottenham Green Market that happens, and there's quite a few vegan stall holders there now. It's not a vegan market, but the Cashew Family have been trading there, and now I think my market is the second one they've done.
Cool. I've got... I'm going on the vegan... Norwegian cruise.
Oh, yes. How fun.
I'm very excited about that.
Will you see some whales? Are there whales or not at that time of year?
I don't know. There is going to be workshops on vegan cheese making.
Really?
Which is something I have never done.
Well, when you come back, we can do an on-the-table special.
Yes.
Maybe you'll do an on-the-table Tatum solo at the high seas, on the high seas.
Yes, I can do that.
Tea on the sea.
Yeah.
Tea on the sea, but where's FGV?
Oh, miss you. But even when you go to Mexico, figure out a way for us to record still. Yeah. So there'll still be more on the table.
I think I should just send you like all reactions of me saying hilarious things and then you ad-lib and record what you would have been saying to make me do that. So I'd be like, and then your thing that you slice in will be junket. And then it will just be like our show will be done with like just random bits put together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that.
That makes sense.
All right. So next show, are you bringing a sweet or a savory?
I would like to bring a savory. Is that okay?
Yeah. I thought you were going to go with sweet because I did such a bad job this week.
That to me, that's like if someone asked me if I'd like something sweet to eat and I said yes and then they punched me in the face. That's the hype. That's like you don't tell a fat gay vegan that they're getting something sweet and then give them slops in a bowl.
I'm so sorry. But I have to say, I've
finish the bowl of the chocolate one.
To make up for this, you know what I'm going to have to do, and it's all your fault. I'm going to have to go home and make a bowl of frosting, cake frosting, and eat it with a spoon to even things out in the universe.
Oh, I love frosting.
I could just make a bowl of frosting and eat it.
Oh my God.
Does that make me a bad person?
Well, I'm right there with you. And I'm eating it while the fridge door is open.
So it doesn't count.
Yeah, doesn't count. Doesn't count. All right, so should we say goodbye?
Goodbye. Oh, a quick thank you to people that support me on Patreon. Mm-hmm. I have a Patreon page, patreon.com/fatgayvegan. And their support helps me have some spare time to come and eat and talk shit with you. So thank you to my Patreon supporters.
Thank you from me too.
Even though I don't give you any money from
right.
The reward is just being at the table. On the table.
Around
the table, under the table.
Oh, that's another episode when we have some alcohol. Can we please have some alcohol?
Let's do an alcohol version of On the Table.
Yes, okay, great. Right, till next time when there's also going to be alcohol.
She's T and I'm FGV.
Bye.
Bye.